So I started off with a story that one year I was the halachic, you know, the poisik for the Camp Volterra, and the camp's policy is based on remorses that during the 9 days they will make a siyum one night and they'll serve fleshiks for the whole camp. Now the halacha is, but they won't do it during Shul Shechel, but they're only doing it the week beforehand. So if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Tuesday, right? So Sunday they're not going to do it. They're saying, but the week before they will do it. They're not Shul Shechel, but you know, whatever the details of the psak are, the camp is considered like one family, one unit, etc. Inevitably, there's always one kid who misses the siyum. So they're serving fleshiks for supper, and a kid comes in, that's after the siyum, can he eat fleshiks? It happens every year. Right? Some years it's the same kid, but you know, so the boy came and asked me, can he eat fleshiks? So I said, I'll tell you a story. Now this poor kid wants to eat supper, and he's stuck to hearing me telling him a story. You know, like, you know. But you know me, the way I answer things is with a story. So the Chavos Yair has a tshuva where a person felt he was like eating too much, he was too much indulging in the world, and he made a neder, from now on he's only going to eat, by a Suda's mitzvah. Otherwise he's not going to eat.
Wow.
After he made that neder, he wrote the question to the Chavos Yair, was one of the Gedolei HaDor in Poland in his generation. He was the Gedolei HaDor in the generation. What's a Suda's mitzvah? Now, I would have advised him the other way around.
That's
if you require what a Suda's mitzvah is before you make this commitment, but that's what he did. So, you know, bris, we understand. Shabrochas, we understand. But like, is a chenuchas dabai, is that considered a mitzvah? Is a siyum considered a Suda's mitzvah? Rambam points out it's considered a Suda's mitzvah. I mean, they had to point it out because it wasn't so posh. So he says that the siyum is considered a Suda's mitzvah. So not only is the siyum considered a Suda's mitzvah, but let's say the person is so happy that the next day he makes a Suda in honor of the siyum. It's also a Suda's mitzvah. He says maybe even Akar Shachur, the day after that also, maybe even.
You could iterate on that.
Right? So that's what he says. So I said that Rashiva told us a Maisa that in Europe, in many cities, they had something called the Chevra Shas. They didn't have Taf Yomi, but they had the Chevra Shas. There was a group of people who would get together. They would learn through Shas together. And this was a common thing in many of the cities in Europe. So it tells the Chevra Shas was led by a person named Rabbi Yochai Helfan. Was killed by the Nazis. So Rabbi Yochai was a tzaddik. Rabbi Sengifter one time told me that she remembers Rabbi Yochai that during Elul, he would learn till Chatzos. He would work till Chatzos. He had to make a business, and after Chatzos, he would shut the store and go base manager to learn. And that was it. Every single day of Elul, you don't learn the second half of the day. You learn Mussar. Rashiva told us to go all the way to Rabbi Yochai. At one time, Rabbi Yochai was in the street in his gatkas, his underwear. It's like somebody else. Like, he's respected by the bosses. He's the Magid Shir of the Chevra Shas. You know, like, Rabbi Yochai, like, what's Geshen? Like, what's going on? He said it in Yiddish, but he says he was in the house. He heard a big tumult in the streets. And he said to himself, a tumult in the street has to be Mashiach. What else could a tumult in the street be? See, he was so overwhelmed, he just ran outside. But you get a picture of what this person was, right? Okay. Like, what could a tumult in the street be other than Mashiach? Right? You know, what's going to die? You know, like, you know. That was Rabbi Yochai. So Rabbi Yochai, when they finished Shas, the Gifter was there, when the Chevra Shas was finishing their Shas, you know, they did it on a regular basis, you know. It was more often than seven and a half years. He made Shiva Shemei Mishnah. He celebrated for 7 days. Each day they made a Suda in honor of the Siyum. And he invited different... Tells was considered a large city. There was a lot of little villages near Tells. So each day, one of the Rabbanim from these different little shtetlach came and was the guest of honor, and he would say a Hadron. Historically, by a Siyum, people would say something called a Hadron. A Hadron was a drasha which you connected the end of the Masechta to get back to the beginning of the Masechta. That was like a standard. That was the part of saying a Hadron. In Europe, they were cloud. The drushes were not short. These could be 2 or 3 hour drushes. They were not like, you know.
Wow.
You know, John spoke for like 20 minutes. Like it was like, you know, it was like wow, that's long. You know.
He spoke for 20 minutes.
I saw. For 20 minutes. Yeah.
Wow. Did you record it?
I didn't record it. That was his job to record it. So I told the boy. He says the reason why you can eat flesh because as soon as mitzvah is because you this meal is being given in honor of the siyum. So regardless whether you're there by the siyum is irrelevant. Because that's not the point. The point is that the meal which is tendered in recognition of the siyum, it's the celebration of the siyum, this is Sudas Mitzvah. So Sudas Mitzvah, of course you can eat flesh. Go enjoy yourself. So that was story number one. After I spoke after Judd, you realize. So after Judd spoke for 20 minutes, I couldn't like sign, you know, I had to say some stories. And, as I found that many times when I speak, you know, that Bershman is mazman me an event or a story or something that day. Which, so I got out later than I wanted. And I really planned to get there earlier. And Nebel Damincha, they are ready. By the time I got out, I think that's care of it. So I said, sure, I had to go to the girls' school and drop off the checks or the car or whatever. Kitzer, I got out and I had a real issue with Mincha. I need to find the Mincha. So I found, you know, I checked that in the Young Israel of East Brunswick had a Mincha at 425. So I put it into my ways. Young Israel, the address, 425. I'll arrive there at 4:25 exactly. 4:25. So, I mean, originally it's a little bit longer later, but then eventually we got it down to 4:25. Okay. nothing mishugah, but so I get to the Young Israel of East Brunswick, and I can't imagine it's like the biggest crowd of for Mincha. Okay, it's the day before New Year's, but it's the middle of the day. It's 4:25. You know, I don't know what the shul gets regularly, but you know, I can't imagine there's so many people there. So, like 18 people, maybe one woman saying Kaddish, and there's like 18 people there, maybe 18 people. So the rabbi is this young man up in the front, looking at him. It does not seem to be anything striking, you know. Wearing a zip down, you know, light gray fleece, you know. Jacket, you know, like a. He gets up to speak to Mincha Ma'ariv. He speaks about the siyum. So he quotes, there's a Ramon, Yeradei, and Reish Rambam talks about that siyum is as soon as mitzvah. And there the Shach brings from the Maram Mintz that. So he talks about the Gemara, says that the idea of that it's as soon as mitzvah, the Betzim is it's a Gemara. He started talking about Tu B'Av. That's he started talking about Tu B'Av. They're like I remember something like Tubov. Like, you know, like Tubashat is closer than Tubov. You know, like, you know, Tubov is like really. She says, well, I'm talking about Tubov, because the more one of the explanations the more gives him Bob Basra. And in Tinus, the celebration of Tubov is because they would cut wood for the Mizbeach, and then they would use the hot sun of the summer to dry it out. After Tubov, the heat is abating to some extent, so you know, they were no longer cut wood for the Mizbeach. So all the wood cut for the Mizbeach had to be completed by Tu B'Av. So in honor of the celebration of completing the mitzvah, cutting the 18 for the Mizbeach for the year, they would celebrate. So the celebration of Tu B'Av is in honor of completing a mitzvah. Gomer Shal Mitzvah. So the more introduced this concept that you celebrate when you complete a mitzvah. So from there we extrapolate the idea of Gemara finishing a Masechta. The Gemara doesn't say anywhere. Oh, that's not true. There's a Gemara that Abaya said when one of the Talmidim of the Yeshiva would make a finish a Masechta. I would make a celebration for the Talmidim of the Yeshiva. But you know, but it seems to be, and it goes under this umbrella of Gemara Shal Mitzvah. So the Chiddush of the Gemara is that even though you never finish learning. You finish cutting the eighth of the Mizbeach. You're not going to do this mitzvah is done. You don't finish learning.
Ah.
Right? So the Chiddush of Siyum of the Masechta Gemara is saying is that, you know, even though you didn't finish learning, but you finished this part of learning, right? So you make a Siyum. And the Mermaid says, when you see him in the Gemara, that the celebration wasn't just for the person who was finished, it was for everybody. So he says, like, so this rabbi saying, like, what's that celebration for everybody else? So it's the element of Kavanah Torah. You're giving recognition to that the Torah is important to us. And it's an expression of Abbas Torah. And then he bursts out crying. This young man over there, like, was so emotional about this idea that we're all going to celebrate this accomplishment, that showing our love for learning and our love for Torah, he just burst out crying. I was like, wow, that was impressive. Like, you know, it's like there's this random young man over there, you know, and he just, I was like, wow. I was like, wow. It was Kedai the whole trip for that, just for that, I'm telling you. So what's Hakim Shat, you make a Siyum on the Masechta? What's the pshat? Like, what's unique about a Masechta? So there's a famous Yerushalmi about a person who learns Masechta Chagiga multiple times. And his Masechta was Chagiga, and he knew Chagiga again and again. And he lived in a little shack at the edge of the city. And he was Nifter. And there was nobody else in there with him. And nobody was taking care of him. So shortly after he was Nifter, this beautiful woman shows up in the middle of the city. And she says, there's this person who passed away at the end of the city. He took very good care of me. Please take care of him. Passed away. I need to be taken care of. And then nobody ever seen her before, who she was. You know, she said he had taken care of her. She asked what her name was. She said Chagiga.
That's interesting.
So there's a musig that each masechta has a certain flavor to it. Has a certain chashivas. It's a certain chashivas to it. The Rav Salek says that when you find the Gadita found the different Gemaras, so there's a reason why the Gadita is in this Masechta, because this Masechta has a certain message it has to give across. And this Gadita is found specifically over here and not somewhere else for a reason. So each Masechta, even though there's no such thing as finishing Torah, you never finish learning. But this message that this Masechta is supposed to give you, you've accomplished. There was Shatnek Asiyim on each Masechta separately. I mean, Reshiva one time, I think it was Regifter. You know, you say in the Hadron, if you look, the language of the Hadron is an extraordinary language. You talk to the Masechta. You say, Hadron Aloch, Masechta's neither, but Hadron Cholon. We're going to come back to you, please come back to us. I don't try to get when people read it wrong, judge are crazy, people like it, because you're not reading the words. Right? We're going to think about you, think about us. Right. We're never going to leave you. Don't leave us. So you talk to the Masechta. You're talking in Lashon Noichach, in second person. You're talking directly to the Masechta, who says, we're going to come back to you, come back to us. We're going to think about you, think about us. We're not going to leave you, don't leave us. It's an extraordinary Lashon. Like the whole idea of the Hadron, if you think about it, like the Masechta is a living, breathing thing. It's a reality. You've spent time with it, and you're promising, don't worry, I'm not leaving you, I'll come back to you again. And you're saying, and I'm going to think about you, I'm going to keep you in mind, and I'm not going to leave you, don't leave us. You know, Masechta said, it means Chazal saw each Masechta as a unit. So therefore, there's a shayach, a concept of a siyum at that point. So, as I said, we were celebrating the idea of a siyum, we're all coming together to celebrate the expression of how much we respect and appreciate the importance of Torah, that a person who finished, we want to celebrate with them and recognize that. So that's what I said. But then the siyum hashas was, you know, the event was pretty impressive. It was. It's interesting. They had you were there. Did you watch it at all?
I watched it. Yeah,
I watched it live.
So, you know, you have the speeches. But you interesting. They have these like the Siyum moments. They call it the Siyum moment, and they have these individuals speaking about. I found that more inspiring than most of the speeches. You know, because that was real. It wasn't somebody talking to me. It was somebody talking about themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, in the Welt, like, you know, a therapist, you got a therapist, you know, you ask them a question, they say, well, what do you think? They'll never tell you what to do. Right? So, I guess they think it's good for therapy, you know. I don't, you know. So the guy says, I don't know. Well, you know, I'm sure you have the answer inside of you. You know, the guy said, listen, buddy, I've been there, I've done that. I'm telling you, this is what you got to do. It's much more effective than saying, well, why don't you figure it out yourself? Like, you know, that part of therapy gets me nervous sometimes, you know. I need somebody who has life experience, who's willing to share with me, like, his challenges and his accomplishments, and help me, you know. Halavi mikol adam means let me. The Welt says that ezer chacham halavi mikol adam, right? He says that a fool doesn't learn from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from somebody else's mistakes. Right? The opposite of a fool is a wise man. He learns from his mistakes. That's accomplishment. But a better idea is don't make the mistakes as hard, because let somebody else's mistakes teach you. Right? Like, you know, why do I have to make the same mistakes? You know? So, these people were talking about, you know, their challenges, the fact that they did it, and how it affected their lives, how it changed their lives, you know, and how the idea of commitment was that was a powerful message. And that was the real purpose of the Siyam. You know, besides the celebration, the purpose of the Siyam was to give across this message. It was to help increase Limud HaTorah in Klal Yisrael. Right? The impact of the Siyam. You know, and one of the best ways of doing that is by having people look just like me, or just like me, saying we could do this. Right. There's one fellow who said about your credits, all of his change, over Fran's Joshua from the last CMU. You saw that part? Yeah. All right. You know, that's a powerful statement. Like, so that was a. If you walk away, you know, I'm not going to do Daf Yomi. I don't think I should do Daf Yomi. I think it was just because I'm going to do it at the expense of something else that I'm doing, and that's not necessarily my prerogative to do that.
Well, right. I keep on grabbing you over to give the shiur.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, I mean, even for a shiur, I'll say a shiur. I got that because, you know, that's part of, I look at that as part of my responsibility is to help people learn. Right? But if I'm doing it, that learning on my own at the expense of something else, that other things, always, you know, other people that I learn with, other people, the things that I'm doing, that's not the right thing to do either. But that I could increase my commitment to what I'm doing, I could do that. You know, everybody could do that. I could be more in time, you know. he's very excited about that life. We could all do that. We, whatever we are doing, make it the equipment a little bit stronger. So,
the fellow who said, like, fitting your day, it becomes fitting your day into the daf,
right,
instead of the daf into your day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So,
I mean, it could be. I was thinking it could be other kibiyas too. But
yeah, it's not that.
Right. But the concept of.
You know, it's fascinating to me was just thinking about this is not what Ramesh Shapiro had in mind.
Really?
The yidden he was addressing it to in Europe, most of them had a background in learning, and they learned many of the mesechtas. It was chazor. He didn't picture Daf Yomi as the vehicle to learn shas.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right, he pictured it as a vehicle. It's a vehicle to review shas.
Oh, nice.
Like Rav Shimon Chaim, you know, Rav Shimon Chaim was the Messiah in my last year of shas. No, two times ago, right? Two times ago, he started learning Daf Yomi the second cycle, except for the year war years when he was in Siberia, like he didn't miss. So he'd been learning it from 1930. Wow. Till the 2000 and 2005. That's 75 years, right?
Right.
except for the, you know, the three and a half years in the middle, the same. But he didn't learn Shas through Daf Yomi. He learned Shas. Right? That's what you did. And you, this was a way to, you know, to keep reviewing it, etc. So they say the Chabad Chaim was jealous of Rameh Shapiro. Why? Because there was these masechtas that nobody would ever get around to learning, you know, Krisis, Meal, these other masechtas, you know, merely being learned. He says when Rameh Shapiro is going to be Nifter, you know, these masechtas are going to come greet him. Right? But nobody was learning Shabbos through Daf Yomi. Everyone learned Shabbos. You learn Shabbos. Like, you know, Erevin, you learn, you know, yeah, but Krisis, Meal, people weren't getting into Krisis, Meal on a regular basis. You know, until Artzer came along, this whole idea, I mean, that's not true. There were already, I remember when I was dating, in 1983, so I was dating in New York a lot, so, you know, Lake Communion had a, there's 60th Avenue, there was a shul called Lake Communion. It was basically alumni of the of Lakewood, which had started the Minyan. You know, it's a great place to learn. It's a nice base medrash, a lot of swarim, island learning, etc. So I was going to New York, you would go into New York for a week because of, you know, we couldn't slip back and forth, you know. With, you know. So I learned there. So in the afternoon, there was a chaver of island learning Daf Yomi together. Alumni, Lakewood alumni. They learned from 3:30 to 6:30 together.
Wow.
It was like four chavrusa shops, and they sat like right next to each other, and they would end up talking to each other, you know, screaming, yelling at each other, fighting, you know. They were learning the daf together, but that, no, they hadn't finished shas yet, but they're going to learn it. You know, it wasn't a shir, it wasn't an hour shir sitting there. But it was learning daf yomi, learning through the daf. And they would kill each other. I mean, like, their mom was just, for 3 hours straight, they're yelling at each other. It was geschmack to see that the guy's out of base matters, out of, you know, he's working. But these people, most of them, you know, their schedules were flexible. They were able to take off, you know, get out that, you know, they were, some went back to work afterwards. Some of them didn't, you know. But in general, the idea that people who had, that this is going to be their first time touching the world of Gemara didn't exist until our school came along. You know, Schottenstein, he said, like, you know, that was the best mess he ever made in his life. I mean, his name is a household name throughout the world now. You go to the Hebrew Shas is also Schottenstein, you know. they call it Schottenstein, you know. They don't call it Arschel, they call it Schottenstein.
Right.
You know, that's what they refer to it as, you know. You know, the man made it such a good, but look what, his mom has changed.
Changed learning.
And it made it, the reason why that you look at the difference in the numbers is because of art school. Like, you know, you talk about, you know, the Felt Forum, 5,000 people in the Felt Forum, you know, like in 82. Like, you know, all of a sudden it's like 90, you know.
Right.
The difference is, I mean, there's more Yidden Baruch Hashem, you know, but I told you I was by the Kinnus for B'nai Torah, Cholamoid, in New York. We used to have a Kinnus B'nai Torah. Cholamoid Sukkot, they used to make a sifa for the Bokharim in the tri-state area in New York. There's the Gudas Israel had a shul on 14th Avenue. It's not there anymore. A very large hall. It could hold like about 900,000 people. And they would have one of the Gdolim would speak. Rikifta one time spoke over there. Remember, Marisha spoke one time. Yaakov, they would speak on the Bet Cholmoy. That one day, like all of the B'nai Torah would get together. We all fit in one room. In 1975, like, you know, we all of us, tri-state area, basically fit under one roof, 1,000.
Wow.
That's what that was the yeshiva Talmidim in 1975.
That's interesting.
I was in Lakewood in 1977. I learned there for a few weeks. I learned there for part of his month. And the yeshiva with the kollel was a little bit over 1,000 people. That's it. You know, this is that's over 40 years ago. It's two generations later. You know, Lakewood Cheder right now has 10 parallel classes in every single grade. And there are five or six other schools in Lakewood of almost similar size already. I remember when, you know, Lakewood Cheder was like two classes, you know, per grade. There's, in the last census, that what?
So what do you attribute that growth to?
It's two generations later.
But it's not to Oscar. We talked about Oscar before.
No, I'm just saying, but all these people,
right.
You have, you know, so it's partial of the growth is because we're bigger, right? But partial of the, but the idea that learning Daf Yomi is like, just, you know, they made it accessible. Meir Zlotowitz made it accessible. When they first, you know, first, the whole idea was fascinating. Rav Shach was against it. They're translating Gemara, he was against, because you can't really do justice to a Gemara. And Rav Gifter was behind it. And Meir Zlotowitz and Nelson Sherman called Rav Gifter, like, they want to go ahead with this project. They're not going to go against Rav Shach. Can he do something? See, he called Rav Shach. And he told Rav Shach had tremendous respect for Rav Gifter. They were very close friends. So Rav Shach told Rav Shiva, he says, I hold it's not a good idea. The du bist the more also more the ara, like the master of the land, you know, du bist the more the ara in America. If you think it's a good idea, I'm not going to come out against it. So in the introduction to the, they make a comment without, there's this cryptic comic about how Rav Gifter, like, saved the project. That's what they're referring to, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the Rishiva Hall was a phenomenon. But that being said, the first mistake that they did was Erevin. And probably reason they did Erevin first, because they wanted to show that this is a real project. You know, you do Megillah first, you know, okay, you know, Shkoyach, you know. If you can do Erevin and do it well, that means this is a real project. You know, this is not fluff. So I had a balabas in my shir in Cleveland. I had a Haskolos Gemara shir. So there were six guys in the shir. So the yeshiva had a night kollel, you know, for balabatim, that, you know, we would go from the yeshiva to Cleveland Heights and we were learning with people there. So every young man was you know, we had to go one night a week. So it was from 8 till 10. So I had Gemara from 8 to 9, and I had, like, learning halacha in depth from 9 till 9:50, and then from 9:50 to 10 o'clock, I said halacha for all the different groups going on. Some were learning Pirkei Avos, some were, you know, the different things going on. I said public, you know, like a public halacha, you know, shir before Mar for 10 minutes. So my Haskolos Gemara shir, I had six people. Five of them were Bali Shuvah. They never really learned before. One guy had learned in yeshiva. He was always from learning yeshiva. Had a very bad experience in yeshiva. He basically just, like, soured with the whole idea. Right? When I was sitting in yeshiva for my father, he came to me, Menachem Oval. So he made a comment. This is the closest I've ever been to yeshiva since I left, like, I was 15 years old. Like, you know, like, you know. Never. His name was Eddie. And he had a chip on his shoulder about learning. He had a bad experience in yeshiva, you know, mashkiach, the whole, all of his, you know, the issues, etc. So he came in the shir every week with the goal he's going to prove the Gemara wrong. Like, that was the goal. And each week, you know, so we sat to Mishmaya, give him an answer why the Gemara was right, not wrong. And then the next week we come in, like, you know, with the same vehemence, oh, we proved them wrong, etc. I said, Eddie, you know, listen, I'm happy you have questions, but you've seen that we multiple times we've given answers why your question, there is an answer to it. So I don't care, ask questions whatever you want, but the way you say it, whether it's vehemence, like, the more is wrong, like, you know, maybe the more is not wrong, we'll see what the answer is. Let's, you know, just ask it, you know, more humbly, you know. He's going to get on my nerves. What's in the mood after that? He said, you know what? Yeah, but this, he says, I understand we're giving this to the poor, but this time the more is wrong. Yeah, you get the idea. So finally, he bets him was really more advanced than everybody else in the shir. So there was another person giving him more advanced Gemara shir, who is a little more of a force of personality than me. A lot more personality than me. And I feel like, let him go to him and let him deal with it. So I graduated him up to the other class. Now, he's not stupid. He knew the other guy's going to really give him a hard time, so he stopped coming. Okay. A little while later, I meet him, like 6 months later, a year later, I meet him and said, I haven't seen you around. He says, you know, Arthur came out with this Gemara Erevin, and I bought the Gemara. And I read it every day. He says, as I'm reading the Gemara, I read all the footnotes. I hear your voice talking to me, explaining the Gemara. That's what he said to me.
Wow.
So I said to him, that's beautiful, but you know, it says in the introduction over there that this doesn't replace having a Rebbe. So, because that was a Tanai that the Gifter told him to put in.
That was, oh, really?
Right? So, he says, I know they say that, but it's not true. So he says to me. So I said,
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how to respond to that one. So I went to Shiva like the next day. I told her she was, you know, basic. I said, you know, what do I say? So he said to me that, you know, he's right. At the level he's learning right now, he doesn't see a difference between a Rebbe and the Gemara. Says he'll go through Shas with that, and he'll realize he needs a Rebbe. You have to realize there's so much more here. This is like, you know, this is just the surface. You know, like, so that's the challenge with, you know, that the Rebbe Menachem Greenblatt, when the article came out. So, guy started bringing Arsene Gemara to his Daf Yomi Shir. He was giving Daf Yomi Shir, you know, ready before that. And he was not happy with that. He says, you want you guys to work. You know, you're only really going to learn how to learn Gemara if, you know, you're really learning from a Gemara. You know, reading and following along in English, you're like, no, but it didn't work. He said, okay, fine. From now on, I'm not going to read the Gemara anymore. You guys prepare beforehand with your ride scrolls. We'll come and we'll discuss the fine. So use this as a vehicle to go to the next level. Don't get stuck there. That's a challenge you have with it, which is what Rav Shach was worried about. You know, it's a phenomenal springboard. It also becomes a limit.
That's the problem with Daf Yomi, because it's so fast that you really can't. You don't have time to break it down.
Right. So these guys were learning for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know. So I didn't hear it, but somebody called my wife and they said that they did an interview with somebody from Cleveland, and they mentioned they quoted me.
Oh, really?
In the, you know, one of the pre you know, CM events. So I said I they didn't know the name, so I said if they did, I can tell you what the quote was.
Really?
So I was teaching TELS in 10th grade, and it was a very fascinating show. They gave me, I had 18 boys. The other Rebbe had 18 boys, I had 18 boys. I had Mrs. Ruskin's son, who was learning Daf Yomi with his father. So they're 14 years old, 15 years old, whatever. He already been learning for the last 3 years Daf Yomi with his father. Okay? He could make a Linus and a Gemara by himself without a problem. He was going through a Baruch Beres for a Seder on his own, like, you know, and understanding them. I don't understand them to this day, but that's a different issue. And you guys at the much weaker end, you know, which, you know, had difficulty reading the Gemara. You know, about figuring it out, just reading, they had difficulty with. And I have everything in between, you know. So, and I, you know, I tried to target, make sure that the weaker part of this year was getting the support they needed, etc. Shabbos afternoon, I introduced to something. I said, you know, Shabbos afternoon, we're supposed to have like a learn Musa Sefer together. I said, let's not do Musa Sefer, let's ask questions. I'll take questions. You guys, you know, make a list of questions, and each week we'll go through, you know, we'll go through one of the questions. So one of the questions that they asked me, because, you know, the yeshiva is a very big stress on, you know, becoming a Talmid Chacham, etc. Like, you know, is it okay to be a Balabas? That was the question. Right? which is like a tells or, you know, like, you know, type of question. There's no college. If you attended college and tells, you were not allowed to go to shir.
You were not allowed to go to shir?
Yeah, you couldn't be in, you couldn't not be in shir and go to college at the same time.
Oh, wow.
When you're yeshiva, you're learning, right? I remember somebody one time called it out. So tell us a person said, listen, they said, like, you know, the vast majority of people who go to law school don't go to chef school at the same time and also medical school at the same time, because you can't do that. You focus on the law school, you focus on the law school. And somebody, you know, you're going to the medical school, that's your business, right? But you don't do two at the same time. But yeah, learning is not so important. So, like, yes, let's do the college at the same time. You know, that's what yeshiva said. No, no, no. We're not. If that's where you're at, it might be the right thing for you, but that's not how you learn. You know, you're learning, you're focused on your learning. So that was the question. So I told the boys, I said, listen, I said, I have no problem you becoming a Baal Shem. Mamash no problem. You know, Tells wasn't. One time, Rebbe Meir Zalman said, you know, Ichmach Baal Abad. He said, my goal is not to make them, you know, Rabbonim. My goal is to make Torah Baal Abad. He said, but there's five types of Baal Abad. He says, what are the five types of Baal Abad? He says, the first type of Baal Abad is the person who doesn't learn. He says, That's not an option. The second type of Baal Abad is the person who understands that learning is important. So every night he goes out to Daf Yomi Shir, because learning is important. He falls asleep in the Shir, you know, because he's tired, etc. But he understands learning is important. The third person, third madrega, is the person who goes to shir every night and he stays awake. He listens to shir. The fourth madrega is the person who goes to the shir and he's awake and he makes comments and he's involved. He's, you know, he's able to, you know, to and the fifth madrega is the person who gives the shir. Says, why are you targeting level two when you can target level five? Like Mahechate said that you have to be a level two or level three. You can be a level. I said, you can be a Baal Abad, but that doesn't mean you can't be giving a shir. I said, it's not giving a shir Daf Yomi. He says, give a shir Mishnayos. There's not two other people in the shul who would appreciate the fact that you prepare Mishnayos and teach it to them. I remember there was a Baal Abad of Cleveland used to give over shir in Das Tfunas. He had two people in his shir. They came every week. They learned that every day, every week. But he prepared it beforehand. And he made it his job to learn it well, and he gave it over. That's a double chashav on the moed, because you're going to give the shares machayev to learn away. Right? It's a whole different darga of learning when you're preparing that shear. You know?
That's for sure.
You know, so I said if they quoted somebody quoted me from Cleveland, that's what that quote was from. You know, because you know, like. And the first time you do it, you know, you take a falter, you know. But it is a problem. Daf Yomi can end up being constricting to people because of the pace. And, you know, it forces you to learn at a very, very superficial level. And that's not what learning is supposed to be, you know. It's supposed to be more than that. So that's why Rashi didn't envision this. He envisioned it as a vehicle of chazora. You knew it well. You cast it quickly, like, you know.
That's interesting.
Moshe Rabbeinu learned that he wasn't spending a large amount of time in it, you know, on it. His idea of Gemara, I told you about my Bechina for him and Masechta Sadorim, right?
Come here.
The first large, it tells there was no Degeshas Bokrim to finish Masechtas. It wasn't like, you know, you have to finish a Masechta. Now it's like, you know, you learn this parak and that parak, you know, that wasn't the mindset. When I was a bocher, we went fast. We learned about 50 blot in the first Seder, 50 blot second Seder. So you did 100 blot a year, right? But night Seder, you worked on the first Seder, because if you want to learn at the pace of 50 blot a year, which, you know, includes Ben Azman, it's fast. It's more than a blot a week, the first Seder. You spent 3-4 hours a night working on the first Seder. And second Seder was the more Bikiyas learning. So you had the 4 hours of second Seder to work through the pace. So I never really finished my Masechtas as a Bocher. The first longer Masechta that I finished, I had a Chavrusa Ben Hastorim. We went through Megillah, and we learned like 40 blot in Sanhedrin. Then we went through Yeshua Shoftim, Shmuel Malachim, Reyamim, Tillim. You know, we went through. You know, we learned, you know, other things, Ben Hastorim. But So the dorm was my first large house after that. It was 89 blot. And I finished the dorm. I said, I need to know this well. You know, I'm not going to be my Havod Chaim to Chazer it well. I'm not going to. So I went to the Shiro Chaim and I asked, can I take a Bechin on it? So there was no official program for Bechin as Amaseptas in Yeshiva. But I asked, he says, fine, this is Ichel and Ramotel and Ichel and Ramotel, but that's for Heir. He says, Shiro Chaim said, I and Gifter will give you the Feher. After Ben's money, we'll come back, you'll take a Feher. So now the die is cast, and I'm stuck. You know, this was great, you know. I had a chazer, 90 blood in 15 days, 6 blood a day. And I had a bechina. So it was an oral for Feher. It's 45 minutes. I was at this door. Now, they weren't learning the Sefetus Adorma. I mean, the Yeshiva learned the Sefetus Adorma. They were learning the blot. They learned, they said Shiran, you know, it was like 20 blot worth of it. You know, the rest of the Masechta, they didn't review at that point in time. They were doing other things. So I go into the Bechina, and I just chazer my kishkas out. Like, you know, I do 6 blot a day. It took me the average about 9 hours a day.
Wow.
For 15 days straight. And I said, I'm going to chazer it well, I'm going to write orders down, I'm going to do this well. I come in, and the Gifter's first question, says, you learn the Masechta? Good, well, he says, okay. So in the dorm, you do the Ram. You don't do the, you know, you don't do Rosh, the Mefarish, you do Ram. So it says, he presented a Shiloh, like a Halachic Shiloh, Halachic Lomnitzic Shiloh. Said, there's a Ram somewhere in the Masechta, that there's a Diak in the Ram, which answers this, which is right to the Shiloh. That was his question. Says, you know the Masechta, this is what it means, knowing the Masechta. That you can make a Diak in a Ram somewhere in the Masechta to answer the Shiloh. So I wasn't sure what he meant, but I thought of a Ran and I thought of a Diak, and I said, this is what I think, you know.
This is Malpah? You could look at it?
I mean, it wasn't officially Malpah, but the mice said it was Malpah. Because, you know, if you don't know, if you don't have it on your fingertips, you're not going to find it now. Like, really? Somewhere in the 90 blot over here, there's a Ran somewhere who says something which is an inference to answer the question. So I said my 2 cents. Rigifta didn't like it. Bashir Chaim liked it. So Rigifta said why he didn't like it. Bashir Chaim defended me. Why he thought I was right. And then the two of them started arguing. And it was the most awesome thing to watch. You saw two people which hadn't just learned the Masechta. We're pulling out Rans at will throughout the Masechta to prove their point. So I'm right because this Ran over here said like this. No, you're wrong because that Ran over there said like that. And you see them pulling out at will any Ran that they wanted in all 90 blot. And, you know, I just learned this. I threw my 2 cents in a little bit also just for fun, like, you know. And this went on like about 10 minutes, like 5-10 minutes. And then they said, okay, no, next question. And after 40 minutes, I mean, by the time I said it, I was loving it. It was like awesome to be. Like, I'm sitting with these two people who their command of the Masechta is like, it was like out of this world to watch it. And I said, okay, that's what it means knowing a Masechta. Now I saw what it means to know a Masechta. One of my Chavarim took a B'chid of our Gifter on Baba Basra. And again, the questions were along those lines. He presented a question. He said, there's a diak in a Rashbam somewhere in the Masechta to answer the Shiloh. And you know, so besides the Rashbams and Baba Basra, right? You know, there's longer than the Golas. You know, the Rashbams and Baba Basra, you're like, you know. And like, there's a diak in a Rashbam somewhere in the Masechta to answer the Shiloh. That's what she was picturing what it meant to know Masechta. That's no Shaykh as a Daf Yom. I'm sorry. And it wasn't, but they learned quickly. The Rishiva had a phenomenal mind. So, but every one time I asked him a question, Ervin, and so he gave me an answer. The Pirish on the Rif in Ervin is the Rebbeinu Yonason. So he answered me. The Rebbeinu Yonason, you know, answers your question. He says this and this and this. Okay, you know, again, like he wasn't learning Ervin, but then pulling out the Rebbeinu Yonasons in the back, you know. Then he says a comment, Erevin doesn't have mazel by me. So I asked Rashi, what does that mean? So he says, every time I try to learn Erevin, here in America, it's never worked out. I start learning it, and then just something happens, and I can't. So I said, when the Shiva learned Arabic, so I asked Shiva, Shiva didn't do Arabic, it wasn't part of the cycle. He says, Yeshiva was doing Baba Kama. So I finished Baba Kama in the morning, so I did Arabic in the afternoon. Baba Kama in Europe, they used to allocate a year for Baba Kama. So then Baba Kama, the three Babas, each one got a year. So I asked him, so he's learning Baba Kama in the morning, but that's pretty, he's learning Arabic in the afternoon. So I asked the Rashiva, like, so it means he's telling me that what he's telling me is that this Rabbi Anderson last time he saw was in 1936. And tells wow. in Europe, you know.
Wow.
And he's pulling out the Rabbi Anderson. So I asked Rashiva, so like how long did Rashiva spend in Erevin? 3 months. It means he finished all of Erevin in 3 months, second Seder, with all the Rabbi Anderson's.
Any story
that was it. So, Daf Yomi was a different to these people. Daf Yomi was a hechatim sel chazer. You know, I learned in 82 there was a siyum hashas, and Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal said that every yeshiva bacher should spend a half an hour a day learning the daf. So it's not, you're not gonna get everything clear, but you'll get yiddiyus. The goal is get yiddiyus. You know, you're learning your iyun, etc. So I did it. I mean, brachas I learned already. Shabbos I learned already. I was a bacher still, but I already learned through brachas and Shabbos. So it was chazar. Erev and taka was new. You don't learn erev in a daf yom. Top of that, I got engaged in erev, so that was like it was the end of that. You know, but like.
Didn't have mazal there, Rebbe.
What?
Didn't have mazal there, Rebbe, that year.
I had different mazal. I used my mazal for something else. You know? I got a shidduch, you know. So, but the speed the way they used to learn, but it wasn't at the expense of it wasn't superficial, and it wasn't, you know, it was committed. These, you know, they knew it. You know, Rashi Reb Chaim, like I learned with him the Dorim the next cycle around. Some read is one, and we learned the Dorim together. Narmarosa is Rishach Tzatzal did not say Shir. When the Yeshiva learned Narmarosa, he did not say Shir. So Chmishtenis was the Ran Vet. Chmishtenis is the Perek. I can't say Shir. I don't know what they're talking about. That's like, it's the hardest. He holds the hardest Perek in Shas. You know, understand it, you know, what you know, in the Dorim. I learned that with Rashi Reb Chaim together for Seder. It was 4 hours straight without a hefsek. Of him like eating Ron's whole, like I mean I had to prepare before him. He would come and you know these big rounds over there. He goes, oh, the Ron took the Zay. I mean he would eat a whole. I push it. He would like swallow a Ron whole. Like I mean, that's I'm not exaggerating. That's about how long it took him to go through a Ron. And he was saying the word like you didn't hear words. You know, and then he goes, the Ron took the Zay. He's really like handling what the Ron means, you know, this and that, and like you know. So the first day, I didn't really have much to prepare before, and like I'm holding like over here, and he's holding like down here, you know, like you know, like whatever you say, like, you know, like what, you know, he says what sucks too. Like you know, I'm still hung on line three. Like what was to say? Like you know. So and that day, if my wife was home, I said, I think I need to really prepare for him before I go through with him. But and it was 4 hours like this. So you learn like that 4 hours like that with that intensity, you're gonna learn something. But like this, it's 2 times ago by the Siyum Hashas, so they had the headsets. They had the right, Madison Square Garden. I told you this, Meister, right?
I want to hear it again. I don't remember who said it though. I don't remember who said it.
So Lazar was with me. Probably why I went because I wanted Lazar to experience it.
David,
you were there.
I was
there. Yeah. So, they were translating. Almost everything was in Yiddish, and they were translating. One person gets up and he starts speaking. And there's I sense those. Are they translating this? He says, no, Tom, why not? He's blasting Daf Yomi. He was blasting Daf Yomi in Yiddish. He was blasting Daf Yomi. So those Heshkel learned, those Heshkel learned. You know, he was like, this, you know. And he was going at it. And they didn't translate it. Like, you know, Lozzer wanted to know, like, why they were translating it. Like, you know, Lozzer was, you know, was...
censored.
What?
It was censored.
Lozzer was 10 years old, you know. And,
I thought my machine stopped working. I thought my headset stopped working.
I remember someone speaking in Yiddish. I don't know what they were saying, but I didn't have a translator.
Well, almost all the drushes were in Yiddish. So, his point wasn't wrong. Just, I don't think the forum, you know, they didn't invite him back the next time to speak. They didn't invite him this time to speak either. He's not wrong. He's not right, though. I mean, like, you know, this celebration is the celebration of people, you know, give them their you know, moment in the sun to feel good about what they've accomplished, and then, like you said, you'll go through Shas, and you realize that this is let's say it's learning. You need more. You know, you got to do it better. There was changing subject. There was a Kiddush Hashem. You saw this Maisa with the one of my Talmidim showed me. And the Shiva Wilderness, this crazy mice. Guy was pulled over by a state trooper in New Jersey today. And the trooper, you know, sees the guy and says, "Did you do your page yet today?" He was one of the guys by to see him. So he says, "I didn't do it yet." He says, "If you promise me you'll do it by tonight, I won't give you a ticket."
Wow.
Wow. And then he said afterwards, he says that he started schmoozing a little bit. And he says, like, he'd never seen such an event in his life. He says there was 90,000 people, and nobody was drunk.
The Uber guy said the same thing. The Uber guy to where I parked my car.
Yeah.
He goes, "So many people, and there's nobody screaming, and there's nobody yelling." I said, "There was no alcohol." The guy said, "And it was just unbelievable. Everybody was so happy." He goes, "I've never seen anything like this at the stadium."
Yeah. So it was a Kiddush Hashem, like, you know, but like Mr. Shmuz from the policeman, you didn't do your laugh yet today. Like, you know, go do the laugh, you know.
That's cute.
So they told me that, you know, all the national news that they was, that was a national news. They covered it, you know. Right. ABC, CBS, NBC, they covered it, you know. What?
Yeah, it's a huge event.
It's a huge event, you know, like, you know. How do you explain to them? You know, it's studying, you know, 2,711 pages of Gemara. Like, you know, how do you explain to them? Like, you know, that's not what it is. The simcha is not because you learned a lot, you finished, you know. The simcha is that, you know, you Torah has a kayak to change you. Torah has a kayak to connect, you know. You connect to it. You know, it's the dedication. The mile of Daf Yomi is the commitment of the dedication. The challenge of Daf Yomi is there's not enough time. You know, you're not really getting it. And any person who's honest with himself has to recognize that. Tarsus, you know, but the scary thing is, if you don't hold on to that, to the program, then what's going to happen? It's so big and so powerful, it holds on to you. But reality, it's got to be one of the most frustrating things, learning that from me. Like, you know, once you get to Madrigal, you realize that, really, like, you know, but what? I don't understand. I want to. You know, I need more time. Right. So it was never sold to us as the program for the Bnei Torah, like, you know, the Prism and Torah. So you go through Shas, you know, my brother-in-law, you know, he left Carlo. He started working. So. You mentioned got a Harusa, and they went through a lot, good part of Shas together. First, he was like learning by himself. Like, every few nights, he would come up. You know, he's learning Kedusha, and he's working on the round in the back, and he has a kasha, and he talked to somebody, and he would call me up to discuss it. Like, he was learning. Especially the way we started the night curl over here. That's why we started the night curl over here. There's guys who are ready graduates of, you know, of yeshiva of a kollel, and they're now out in the field working. You know, they want to learn at a darga, but as part of a group together, you know, you learn by yourself or learn chavrusa. It's hard the same, but you have a group of four chavrusas learning together, and they sit right next to each other, and then they're learning. You know, but they're learning at a, they have a pace they have to keep to, whatever it is. They said, you guys work out the pace that you're good about. And I'm paying them something because getting some money helps the kviyas. Ah. But it's something which the city never had before. It's a group learning. Aretz Chaim started a new thing. They have this night seder over there. You know, and they're paying rebbeim to learn with the rebbeim of the community. Just be there at nighttime and learn with other balabatim. But it's a teaching. Like, this person's a rebbe by day, so he needs the money, so he's a rebbe by night. But he's not steiging on his level. You know, John's piece, so he spoke, we went through one prat about Roiv, you know, how Roiv works. He spent hours and hours and hours learning with me, and then hours on his own preparing it, and then, you know, he had 20 minutes to give over, which was just like, you know, the tip of the iceberg of what we learned. You know, the Rashi Prokim of it. Like, Roiv, I mean, like, Sugya Roiv, Sugya Chazaka, like, you know, to learn it well, it's, you know, it's years of work. The Sugya Roiv, I mean, Mordechai Lynch made a Siyam Rashas recently, a few years ago, made a Siyam Rashas, the last 5 years. He took a sugya of Chazaka, and he went through. He spoke for an hour. He went through how this came up in every one of the mesechtas of Shas, from Brachas, Shabbos, Erevin. So he went through all of Shas, tying together one thread of a thought through all of Shas. It's Mordechai Linzer, you know, like he's all, you know, but like I don't know. If you remember. So to spend a half an hour a day to learn it as for Yedias, it's nice, you know. It's somebody's primary limud. But the Maisa, for many people, there's no other option. There's no better option because the commitment is what keeps them going. The pressure is what keeps them going. But otherwise, they would, you know. But you want the person eventually to. You want, like you want the person to get to the point to say that this is not, I need more. So nowadays, Baruch Hashem, there's more. You know, there's so many resources available. You know, there's insights into the daf, and there's daf notes, and there's shurim online, and there's, you know, Jed and I were talking about maybe like trying to do, I remember we did two cycles ago, we did like a once a month, a more eon de kashir on something in the 30 blot. You know, I used to speak in Sharma with Tim and Chamar once a month.
Right.
Yes.
I did it based on the Daf Yomi cycle.
That's right. That's what you're thinking about now, or something different?
What?
Reinstituting that, what you did between Tim and Chamar, but doing something over here, separately.
No, the idea is the same. The venue is, I'm thinking of maybe, you know, to make it, I don't have that entree anymore. Right. Reinemer wasn't there with Tim and Chamar.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of times he wouldn't come back. He would go to the whole.
Right. I know.
So he needed somebody to speak. So for him, I was, you know, he knew it once every 4 weeks. He had me. You know, Rabbi Hatt used to speak.
That's right.
Rabbi Rosen was there. It's his. Rabbi Silver there. It's their job. You know, they don't need me coming once a month. They don't want me coming once a month. You know, but it's a different venue, whatever it is, something like that. But to the musik of like, there's more. The learning that you should be happy with just reading through the basic Taitz of the Gemara. Like, see, I don't know. It's late. It's very late. So.